If you're new to our channel, don't forget to hit the subscribe button.
Karen Michael is the blogger of May Dreams Gardens, which is a huge blog with well over 2,500 posts going back to 2004. Potted and Pruned is a compilation, it's her book, compilation of some of the best of these posts, plus some new essays. And her second book, Potted and Pruned, or called Homegrown and Handpicked, A Year in the Gardening Life, is a second compilation of these great essays. And she's from Indiana. Welcome to the program, Carol.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the program, sharing some of your knowledge with all of us.
Now, you are a collector of old garden books. What's an unusual tip you may have found in an old garden book that works surprisingly well and you were just kind of shocked by it?
Well, I'm not so sure it's a tip, but I like to read My Summer in a Garden by Charles Dudley Warner. He wrote it around 1870, I think. And he talked about the weed purslane. Have you guys have purslane in your gardens up there?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Well, he had it too, and he called it pusley, and said it was this. It had a moral perversity as a plant because it just grew and grew and grew, and it didn't matter. And so, I took great comfort, I guess, in knowing that all the purslane in my garden that other gardeners had that same problem 150 years ago.
I guess that is comforting, in a way.
On your blog there, you've got a post about putting plastic forks with the pointy part up, the handle in the ground, to protect your bean seedlings. Can you explain what that is and is it, how effective is that?
So it's not scientifically proven, but that's my fortress. And I used to have problems with the rabbits would come in and they would just mow down a row of beans. And, as soon as those seedlings came up, I tried fencing. I tried red pepper flakes. I tried everything. And finally, I got the idea to create a little barrier right by the seedling, and that's where I lined the rows with the forks, and it works surprisingly well. It looks crazy, but it works for me.
I've also heard of people doing that to keep cats out of their beds, and they find that to be effective as well. The cats won't bed down because there's nowhere to lay down at.
Well,
right, and that's where I got the idea because people were putting forks in their houseplants to keep the cats from digging in their houseplants. So I thought, well, it should work out in the garden, and it does.
Okay, great. Now, you seem to have a lot of problems with raccoons. What are they going after, and what helps deter them?
Well, raccoons is a recent problem for me. They showed up this winter, and they were going after the bird seed. Mm. I was feeding birds. I had peanuts for blue jays. I had all kinds of seed out there. And really cleaning up the bird feeding area and putting up a baffle to keep the raccoons from being able to climb up to the feeders. They've gone for now. I'm sure they'll be back if I leave a mess out there, but I just try to keep things where they won't, that they don't want to eat around, and then they go off finding food someplace else.
You talk about embracing bugs for a happier life. You say you kill them with caution. What does that mean, and what kind of bugs are we dealing with when we're in the garden here?
Well, in my garden, you know, I have the usual Japanese beetles. I have squash bugs. I find aphids. I have tomato hornworms. And I'll tell a story. I met a woman, and she just didn't understand why she didn't have any bees in her garden. And you need bees to pollinate some crops like squash. And, well, it turned out that she had paid somebody to spray for mosquitoes. And I says, well, there's no bug spray that kills just mosquitoes. You've killed every insect in your garden. And we've got to have good bugs with the bad bugs. And so kill with caution means don't run out with a spray the minute you see a harmful bug. Look for other ways to pick that bug off the plant yourself or... You know, in some cases, I just decide not to grow a particular vegetable because it's too buggy in my garden.
Well, let's talk about some of the good bugs that will benefit us. Most of the bugs in our garden are good or benign, and there's very small amount that are actually bad.
Do that.
Yeah, and you've got ladybugs, which are good. They control a lot of the aphid infestation that you may have.
Right.
And you can bring those in by, you can buy them online. But also if you have a well-balanced ecosystem, they're going to find that garden of yours. And then we also encourage people to bring birds into the garden, and they eat those bad bugs as well. So do you encourage birds to come in your garden?
Oh, yeah. I've got bird feeders, and then I've tried to plant some native shrubs that have fruit, like chokeberry, mm-hmm. service berries, so that there's something for the birds to eat and something to attract them.
Right. And not, you know, based on what type of bird you're wanting to bring in, determines on what they're what they eat natively. So that would be a big challenge, you know, if you're wanting a specific bird, you want to bring in specific type of feed for them.
Right. And I haven't explored it to say, hey, I need this to bring in cardinals. I do use certain types of bird seed that I buy to bring in cardinals, such as the safflower. So, but I haven't explored it more than that, but that's something I should probably do, is to attract more types of birds to the garden.
Definitely. Now, we all don't have perfect soil. We may have more of like a clay-like soil. How do we know what kind, like what we have, and how is it best to turn clay soil into more of a fluffy, loamier soil?
Well, I think in the Midwest, most people would say they have some sort of a clay soil. You can send soil off to be tested, and they'll tell you what you need to do to add more nutrition if it needs it. When I was in school, we learned the thumb test, where you push the soil between your thumb and your index finger, and if it's a ribbon, you've got clay soil. If it breaks apart, you probably have something that tends more towards loam or sand. And the best thing is just keep adding organic matter. Keep adding organic matter to that soil.
Yeah, we always encourage people to use, you know, what they have available. We have a lot of leaves that we bring in. Chemical-free grass clippings are a good one. Coffee grounds as well. But you don't have to spend – I mean, you can invest in – if you've got really bad soil, you can invest in compost by bulk, or you can just use your native material to continue to build that up. And when you do that, the microbial life, the soil web, will begin to develop, and worms will come, because you don't want to add worms to your garden.
No.
You have two books, and you've got 2,500 garden posts on your website since 2004. Do you have a specific post that you really enjoy, or you've had a lot of feedback on that you're like, you know, I just kind of wrote this on a whim, and like everybody is taking a great pleasure in it?
Yeah, I've got a couple of them. One of them is I wrote a post called, I called it, you know, people have GADS. Garden's Attention Distraction Syndrome, and that's when you go out the front door to weed something, and then you see something else that needs done, so you kind of leave the weeding area, and you go clip on something, and then you realize there's a plant that needs to be planted, so you go over there, and then you come back inside and realize your house plants have to be watered, then you spill water, and then the next thing you know, you're mopping the floor, but out front is those weeds that you started on, and so that's the way sometimes gardening goes, and I call it a GADS. What did I just end up doing? Because I've been everywhere in the garden, and I don't feel like I got anything done.
Now,
people got a kick out of that. They identified with it.
Yes, we have experienced that as well. and sometimes it helps, you know, at least when Holly and I are in the garden, I kind of know what needs to be done, so I can send her one direction going, okay, we need to do this, and I can do another thing, so at least something gets done.
Right.
So where can people find your books at, and what can, in addition to that, the syndrome there, what else can we expect in those books?
Really just a lot of humor and lighthearted essays about gardening. And people tell me that if you read between the lines, you do find a few garden tips in there. My second book, Homegrown and Handpicked, I write about how my dad grew tomatoes, which is the only proper way to grow them. And so I am a staker of tomatoes. I think cagers they're okay people, but I think you ought to stake your tomatoes.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. We've got a few moments here. Obviously, the past generation gardeners obviously knew a lot more than what we do to a certain level, because if they didn't grow it, they couldn't eat it. They didn't just go to the grocery store and pick it up. So what were some of your dad's tips on growing phenomenal, successful tomatoes?
Well, one of the things he did is he would get composted cow manure or horse manure from a local farmer, and he'd dig a hole almost 2 feet deep and throw that manure in there, And he had to use metal fence posts stuck 18 inches in the ground to support the tomato plants that grew so big.
Wow.
And so it's the soil nutrition. And I tell people it's soil nutrition. And the other thing is he didn't buy the smallest, tiniest little tomato seedling. He always bought a nice-sized seedling, whether it was tomatoes or geraniums. He started off with a good, healthy plant.
And your dad fed the soil, not fed the plant, and that's the key.
Correct.
Here.
Yes, feed that soil, and then it'll take care of the plants.
Well, Carol, your books are available. Where are they? On Amazon? Are they on your website? Where can we get your books at?
They're on Amazon. They're on Barnes & Noble. If you want a signed copy, I do have a link on my website, which is www.maydreamsgardens.com.
Well, Carol, we greatly appreciate you joining us on the program this morning and sharing some of your garden wisdom with Holly, myself, and all of our listeners.
Well, I appreciate having me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy
Carol.
The garden today.
Absolutely, we will. Thank you for checking out the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. For more, go to the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com for full length in-studio video and podcast replay of Season 1. Season 2 underway and added weekly. Tweet us at TWVG Show or hashtag TWVG to be part of the program.